Veil of Deceit. Chapter 1. A Deal with the Devil. The rain lashed against the cracked windowpane as Maya Sinclair lit her last cigarette with trembling fingers. The acrid smoke filled the dimly lit room, masking the stench of mildew and desperation. She stared out at the neon glow of the city beyond, its flickering lights promising everything she didn't have: power, freedom, control. Her chest tightened with the weight of knowing this could be her last night, or the start of something new. The knock at the door shattered the silence. Maya's heart raced, but she kept her face impassive as she crossed the room, heels clicking against the warped wooden floor. Peeking through the peephole, she saw him. Julian Cross. Tall, sharp, and dangerous, like a blade cloaked in silk. His reputation preceded him, a man who turned ambition into power and enemies into dust. And now, for reasons she couldn't fathom, he was here. Maya, he said as she opened the door, his voice a low rumble that sent a shiver down her spine. I've heard a lot about you. She arched an eyebrow, leaning casually against the doorframe. All lies, I'm sure. Julian's smirk was predatory. I don't waste time on lies. Let's talk. He brushed past her into the apartment, his tailored suit and polished shoes a stark contrast to her threadbare surroundings. She closed the door, taking a moment to steady herself before turning to face him. You've been running small-time scams for years, Julian began, pacing the room like a wolf in a cage, cheating rich men out of their wallets, hustling under the radar. Clever, but you're wasting your potential. Maya crossed her arms, the cigarette dangling from her lips. And you're here to offer me a job? An opportunity, Julian corrected, his piercing gaze locking onto hers. One that could make you very rich, or very dead, depending on how well you play the game. Her pulse quickened, but she forced a smirk. Sounds like a generous offer. Julian stepped closer, his presence suffocating in the small space. I need someone who can think on their feet, lie convincingly, and adapt to chaos. Someone willing to take risks. You fit the profile. What's the catch? Maya asked, flicking ash onto the floor. Julian's smile faded, replaced by a cold seriousness. The catch is that once you're in, there's no getting out. We're talking high stakes, drug deals, money laundering, eliminating threats. If you slip up, you won't just lose your life. You'll lose your soul. The words hung heavy in the air. Maya took a long drag of her cigarette, her mind racing. She'd spent her whole life clawing her way out of the gutter, only to find herself trapped in an endless cycle of survival. This was dangerous, yes, but it was also her shot at something bigger. What's the job? She asked, her voice steady despite the knot in her stomach. Julian's lips curled into a knowing smile. Tomorrow night, there's a shipment coming in at the docks. I need someone inside Delacroix's crew to ensure the delivery goes smoothly and to feed me intel. You'll be paid handsomely, assuming you survive. Assuming, Maya echoed dryly. What makes you think I'll survive? You're smart, Julian said, his eyes narrowing, and desperate. That combination makes people dangerous. Maya extinguished her cigarette in a chipped ashtray, meeting his gaze with a determined glare. Fine, I'm in. Julian extended a hand, his grip firm and cold. Welcome to the game, Maya. The docks were a hive of activity, the air thick with the scent of salt water and diesel. Maya adjusted her leather jacket, her heart pounding as she approached the group of men unloading crates from a cargo ship. She spotted Vincent Delacroix at the center of it all, a hulking figure with a scar slicing across his cheek, barking orders like a general. Maya slipped into the shadows, her pulse hammering as she watched. She needed to earn their trust quickly, but one misstep could blow her cover. Taking a deep breath, she stepped forward. Hey, she called, her voice carrying over the din. I'm here for Mr. Cross. He said you'd be expecting me. Delacroix turned, his cold eyes narrowing as he sized her up. Cross sent a woman? This some kind of joke? Maya smirked, masking her fear. You think he'd send someone who couldn't handle the job? The men around Delacroix chuckled, but the kingpin's expression remained stony. After a tense moment, he waved her over. Fine, get to work. But if you screw this up, I'll make sure you regret it. Maya nodded, slipping into the chaos of the operation. She moved quickly, keeping her eyes and ears open, memorizing faces and listening for anything that might be useful to Julian. Her mind raced as she pieced together fragments of conversations, trying to stay one step ahead. As the night wore on, tensions rose. A rival crew had been spotted nearby, and Delacroix's men were on edge. Maya's heart pounded as she realized how precarious her position was. If things went south, she'd be the first to take the fall. Then it happened. A gunshot cracked through the air, followed by chaos. Men shouted and scattered as bullets flew. Maya dove behind a stack of crates, her breath coming in short gasps. She fumbled for the small pistol Julian had given her, her hands shaking as she clutched it tightly. "Stay calm," she whispered to herself, peeking out from her hiding spot. She spotted Delacroix firing back at the attackers, his face a mask of fury. She needed to get out of there, fast, but as she moved to escape, she felt a hand clamp down on her shoulder. Whirling around, she found herself face to face with one of Delacroix's men, his gun trained on her. "Who the hell are you?" he demanded, his voice dripping with suspicion. Maya's mind raced. She had one chance to talk her way out of this, or die trying. Veil of Deceit. Chapter 2. Shadows of the Past. Maya stared down the barrel of the gun, her pulse racing as adrenaline surged through her veins. The man gripping her shoulder was big and mean-looking, his eyes narrowing with suspicion. She could feel the tension in the air, thick as the smoke curling around the docks. "Who the hell are you?" he barked again, his grip tightening. Maya forced herself to stay calm. Panic wouldn't save her here, but her words might. "Julian Cross sent me," she said, her voice steady despite the fear clawing at her throat. "I'm here to make sure this deal doesn't go sideways. Looks like I'm already earning my keep." The man hesitated, his grip loosening slightly. She could see the doubt flicker in his eyes, and she pressed her advantage. "If you kill me, you'll have to explain to Delacroix why you shot someone on Julian's orders. Think he'll be happy about that?" The man's lips curled into a sneer, but he lowered the gun. "You'd better hope you're telling the truth." Maya exhaled slowly as he turned away, joining the others in the firefight. She used the moment to slip deeper into the shadows, her heart hammering. The gunfire had slowed, and she could hear the attackers retreating, their shouts growing fainter in the distance. When the chaos finally subsided, Delacroix barked orders to his men, regrouping them. Maya stayed back, observing, her mind racing. She'd narrowly avoided getting killed, but the night wasn't over yet. She still had a job to do. Back in the relative safety of her apartment, Maya sank into the worn couch, her hands still trembling. The night had been a success, barely. She'd managed to gather enough intel on Delacroix's operation to pass along to Julian, but the close call lingered in her mind like a dark shadow. Her phone buzzed on the coffee table, jolting her out of her thoughts. She grabbed it, her stomach tightening as she saw Julian's name on the screen. "You're alive," he said when she answered, his tone more amused than concerned. "Impressive." "Barely," Maya shot back. "You could have warned me about Delacroix's paranoia. I almost got my head blown off." Julian chuckled softly. "If I told you everything, you might have said no. But you handled yourself well. What did you find out?" Maya hesitated, her fingers curling around the edge of the couch. "Delacroix is planning another shipment next week. Bigger than this one. He's beefing up security. Probably expects trouble." There was a pause on the other end, and Maya could almost hear Julian's mind working. "Good. Keep close to him. Earn his trust. The more we know, the better." Maya frowned, her frustration bubbling to the surface. "You make it sound so easy. Do you have any idea what it's like out there? One wrong move and I'm dead." "That's the game, Maya," Julian said, his voice cold. "If you can't handle it, walk away. But if you want out of that dump you call home, you'll do what needs to be done." The line went dead before she could respond. Maya slammed the phone onto the table, anger and fear swirling inside her. Julian's words stung because they were true. She was in too deep now, and the only way out was forward. The next morning, Maya met Eleanor Steele at a small cafe on the outskirts of the city. Eleanor was everything Maya wasn't: polished, confident, and in complete control. Her tailored suit and sharp gaze made her look more like a predator than a lawyer. "I heard you've been busy," Eleanor said, sipping her coffee. Her tone was casual, but there was an edge to it that put Maya on alert. Julian's got me working with Delacroix, Maya replied, keeping her voice even. It's messy, but it's a start. Eleanor leaned back in her chair, studying Maya with a hint of amusement. Messy is putting it lightly. You're walking a very fine line, my dear. One misstep, and you'll end up like the rest of Julian's pawns. Dead and forgotten. Maya bristled at the remark, but forced a smile. Thanks for the pep talk. Eleanor smirked, setting her cup down. I'm just being realistic. But if you're smart, you'll use this opportunity to your advantage. Julian's ambitious, but he's not invincible. Play your cards right and you could come out on top. Maya frowned, her suspicion growing. Why are you telling me this? Eleanor's smirk widened. Let's just say I have a vested interest in keeping Julian on his toes. And in seeing how far you're willing to go. Before Maya could respond, Eleanor rose from her seat, tossing a few bills onto the table. Be careful, Maya. The game you're playing has no winners. Maya spent the next few days weaving herself deeper into Delacroix's organization. She ran errands, listened carefully, and built a fragile trust with the men around her. But the weight of Eleanor's words lingered in the back of her mind. No winners. It wasn't until one late evening, while Maya was tailing a shipment, that she noticed something odd. A black SUV trailed them at a distance, its windows tinted. She tried to ignore it, but a sinking feeling settled in her gut. When they arrived at the drop point, the SUV pulled up beside them, and a man stepped out. He was tall and broad, with an air of authority that made even Delacroix hesitate. Who's this? Maya whispered to one of the men. Liam Hayes, he muttered. Cop. But not the kind that plays by the rules. Maya's heart skipped a beat as Liam approached, his gaze sweeping over the group. When his eyes landed on her, she felt a chill run down her spine. You're new, he said, his tone deceptively casual. What's your name? Maya, she replied, forcing herself to meet his gaze. Just here to do my job. Liam smiled, but there was no warmth in it. Good. Let's hope you're better at it than the last one. As he walked away, Maya felt the weight of his scrutiny linger. She was playing a dangerous game, and now she had another player to contend with. Chapter 3. A Web of Betrayal. The city pulsed with a restless energy, its neon veins illuminating the darkness that enveloped Maya. The events of the past few days weighed heavily on her as she leaned against the balcony railing of her apartment, the cold night air biting at her skin. The memory of Liam Hayes' piercing gaze haunted her. He was no ordinary cop. His presence signaled danger, the kind she couldn't afford to ignore. Maya knew the walls were closing in. Every step deeper into Delacroix's operation felt like walking a razor-thin tightrope. Julian's demands were growing. Eleanor's cryptic warnings lingered, and now, Hayes' interest in her threatened to unravel everything. Her phone buzzed on the table inside, pulling her from her thoughts. She grabbed it, her heart sinking as Julian's name flashed on the screen. Tell me you've got something, he said without preamble when she answered. Maya sighed, rubbing her temple. Delacroix is planning a big shipment in 3 days. Word is it's worth millions. But he's paranoid. Security's tight, and he's bringing an extra muscle. Good, Julian replied, his tone cold and calculating. I want every detail. Who's involved, where it's going, and when. This could be our chance to take him down. And if I get caught? Maya asked, her voice sharper than she intended. Julian's laugh was low and humorless. Then you'd better hope you're a better liar than I thought. The line went dead, leaving Maya staring at her reflection in the window. She hated the way Julian spoke to her, like she was a disposable pawn in his game. But he wasn't wrong. If she wanted to survive, and maybe even come out on top, she had to play smarter than everyone else. The following night, Maya found herself at one of Delacroix's clubs, a seedy yet upscale place where deals were made and lives were ruined. The bass thumped through the floor as she wove through the crowd, her eyes scanning for familiar faces. She'd been summoned for a meeting, though the cryptic nature of the invitation left her uneasy. Delacroix was seated in a private booth, a cigar clamped between his teeth as he laughed with a group of his men. When he spotted her, his expression hardened, and he waved her over. Maya, he said as she approached, his voice gruff. "Sit." She obeyed, sliding into the booth beside him. The men around her shifted, their eyes cold and suspicious. "I've been hearing things," Delacroix said, his tone deceptively casual. "Whispers about someone feeding information to the wrong people. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?" Maya's stomach twisted, but she kept her face neutral. "Of course not. I'm here to help you, remember? Julian sent me to make sure everything runs smoothly." Delacroix studied her for a long moment, the silence stretching thin. Finally, he leaned back, blowing out a cloud of smoke. "Good. Because if I find out someone's betraying me, I'll make sure they regret it." The veiled threat hung in the air, but Maya forced a smile. "Understood." Delacroix nodded, then gestured to one of his men. "Take her to the back. She's got a job to do." The job turned out to be sorting through a stack of coded documents in a back room, under the watchful eye of one of Delacroix's enforcers. Maya's mind raced as she worked, her hands trembling slightly as she decoded the information. Addresses, shipment details, and names. All of it was valuable intel for Julian. But as she scribbled notes in the margins, she couldn't shake the feeling that she was being watched. When she glanced up, she saw the enforcer staring at her, his expression unreadable. "You nervous or something?" he asked, his voice rough. Maya forced a laugh. "Just don't want to mess up. Delacroix doesn't seem like the forgiving type." The man smirked, but his gaze didn't waver. "Smart girl. Keep it that way." When she finally finished, she handed the documents back to the enforcer, her heart pounding. She'd memorized as much as she could, but she knew the risk she'd taken. One mistake, and she'd be dead. Later that night, Maya met Julian in a shadowy corner of a parking garage. He was leaning against his sleek black car, his expression as cool and unreadable as ever. "Did you get it?" he asked as she approached. Maya handed him a folded piece of paper, her nerves raw. "It's all there. Shipment details, addresses, the works. But Delacroix is suspicious. If he finds out what I'm doing..." "He won't," Julian interrupted, his tone dismissive. "You're too good to get caught." Maya clenched her fists, anger flaring. "You don't get it, do you? I'm risking my life for you. The least you could do is show a little concern." Julian's eyes softened, just for a moment, and he reached out to brush a strand of hair from her face. "You're right. I don't say it enough, but I do appreciate what you're doing. Trust me, Maya. This will all be worth it in the end." His words were like honey, sweet but insincere. Maya wanted to believe him, but the doubt gnawed at her. She was playing a dangerous game, and Julian was holding all the cards. As the days passed, Maya's paranoia grew. Liam Hayes seemed to be everywhere she went, his presence a constant reminder of the razor's edge she was walking. She couldn't tell if he suspected her or if he was just toying with her. Either way, she knew she couldn't let her guard down. One evening, she found herself cornered by him in a dimly lit alley outside one of Delacroix's warehouses. He leaned against the wall, his hands in his pockets, his gaze piercing. "You're an interesting one, Maya," he said, his voice low. "You don't quite fit in with Delacroix's crew. Makes me wonder what you're really up to." Maya's heart raced, but she forced a smirk. "I'm just doing my job. Same as you." Liam chuckled, his eyes narrowing. "If that's what you want me to believe, fine. But be careful. In this line of work, trust is a rare commodity. And betrayal? That'll get you killed." He pushed off the wall and walked away, leaving Maya alone in the shadows. His words echoed in her mind, a chilling reminder of the danger she was in. Back in her apartment, Maya stared at the coded notes she'd smuggled out of Delacroix's office. They were her ticket to gaining Julian's trust, or her downfall if she was caught. The weight of her decisions pressed down on her, suffocating. She picked up her phone, dialing Julian's number with trembling fingers. When he answered, she didn't wait for him to speak. "I can't do this anymore," she said, her voice cracking. "It's too dangerous. I'm out." There was a long pause on the other end, and when Julian finally spoke, his voice was icy. "You don't get to walk away, Maya. Not now. You're in this until I say otherwise." Maya's hand tightened around the phone, her anger boiling over. "You don't own me, Julian. I'm not your pawn." "Then prove it," he said, his tone sharp. Finish the job. Take Delacroix down. And then we'll see where we stand. The line went dead, leaving Maya staring at her reflection in the cracked screen. She was trapped in a web of lies, betrayal, and danger. And the only way out was through. But with every step she took, she felt the noose tightening around her neck. Chapter 4. Dangerous Seductions. The music in the club was deafening, a pulsating rhythm that matched the erratic beat of Maya's heart. She sipped her drink, her eyes scanning the crowded room for Vincent Delacroix. Her instructions from Julian were clear. Stay close to Delacroix, gain his trust, and gather enough information to cripple his operation. But what Julian didn't account for was the dangerously magnetic pull Delacroix had on her, or the razor's edge she'd have to walk to stay alive. When Delacroix finally entered, the energy in the room shifted. He was flanked by two of his men, his broad shoulders cutting through the crowd like a shark through water. His eyes scanned the room, sharp and assessing, before landing on her. A faint smirk tugged at the corner of his mouth, and he beckoned her over with a flick of his fingers. Maya's pulse quickened as she approached, her heels clicking against the polished floor. She couldn't afford to falter now. Delacroix needed to see her as an asset, someone he could trust, or at least, someone he could use. You clean up nice, Delacroix said as she slid into the booth across from him. His voice was rough, like gravel, but there was a charm to it that made her skin prickle. Maya smirked, leaning back casually. I wasn't aware this was a job interview. It's always an interview, he replied, his gaze piercing. In this business, trust is earned, not given. And so far, you're an unknown. I'm just here to do my job, Maya said, keeping her voice steady. Whatever you need, I can handle it. Delacroix studied her for a long moment, the tension thick between them. Then he leaned forward, his elbows resting on the table. Good, because I've got a problem, and I need someone who can think on their feet. Someone like you. Maya's stomach tightened, but she forced a confident smile. What's the job? There's a man I need you to meet, Delacroix said, his tone casual but his eyes sharp. An associate of mine who's been less than reliable lately. I want you to feel him out. See where his loyalties lie. Maya nodded, her mind racing. She knew this was a test, a way for Delacroix to gauge her usefulness. But it was also an opportunity, a chance to prove herself and dig deeper into his operation. When? She asked. Tomorrow night, Delacroix replied, lighting a cigar. I'll send someone to pick you up. The next evening, Maya found herself in the back seat of a sleek black car, her nerves fraying as they drove through the city. Delacroix's driver was silent, his eyes fixed on the road, while Maya's mind churned with a thousand possibilities. She didn't know what to expect from this meeting, but she knew it wouldn't be simple. They arrived at a lavish penthouse, the kind of place that screamed excess and power. Maya stepped out of the car, her heels clicking against the pavement as she approached the entrance. The doorman waved her through without a word, and she found herself in an elevator that whisked her up to the top floor. When the doors opened, she was greeted by a man in his late 40s, his suit impeccably tailored and his smile razor sharp. Miss Sinclair, I presume, he said, extending a hand. Maya, she replied, shaking his hand. And you are? Dominic Sloan, he said, gesturing for her to follow him. Please come in. The penthouse was a study in opulence, with floor-to-ceiling windows that offered a breathtaking view of the city. Maya followed Dominic to a sleek glass table where two glasses of wine were waiting. So, Dominic said as they sat down, his gaze lingering on her. Delacroix sends his regards. And his questions, I assume. Maya smiled faintly, swirling the wine in her glass. He just wants to make sure everything's running smoothly. You know how he is. Dominic chuckled, but there was a nervous edge to it. Of course. Always so thorough. As the conversation unfolded, Maya played her part flawlessly, alternating between charm and subtle probing. Dominic was guarded, but she could sense his unease. He was hiding something, and the more she pressed, the clearer it became. By the time the meeting ended, Maya had gathered enough to confirm Delacroix's suspicions. Dominic was skimming profits, funneling money into his own accounts. It was a dangerous game, and now she held the key to exposing him. Later that night, Maya met with Delacroix at one of his private lounges. She relayed everything she'd learned, her voice steady despite the weight of the information. "Dominic's been skimming," she said, watching Delacroix's expression harden. "He's been siphoning money into offshore accounts. I got the details." Delacroix leaned back in his chair, a slow, dangerous smile spreading across his face. "Well done, Maya. You've proven yourself tonight." The praise felt hollow, but Maya forced a smile. "Glad to help." Delacroix's smile faded, replaced by a calculating look. "Dominic will need to be dealt with discreetly. And I think you're the perfect person for the job." Maya's heart skipped a beat. "You want me to handle it?" "You've already proven you can think on your feet," Delacroix said, his tone firm. "Consider this your initiation. Handle Dominic, and you'll have my full trust." Maya's stomach churned, but she nodded. "I'll take care of it." As she left the lounge, Maya's mind raced. This was her chance to solidify her position with Delacroix, but it was also a line she wasn't sure she could cross. Killing Dominic wasn't just dangerous, it was a point of no return. She called Julian as she walked through the empty streets, the phone cold against her ear. When he answered, she didn't wait for pleasantries. "Delacroix wants me to take out one of his guys," she said, her voice low. "What do I do?" Julian's laugh was soft and chilling. "You do what you're told. This is exactly what we need. Once you're in his inner circle, you'll have access to everything. And if I can't do it?" Maya asked, her voice cracking. "Then you're no use to me," Julian said coldly. "And you'll be on your own." The line went dead, leaving Maya standing alone in the darkness. She felt the weight of her choices pressing down on her, suffocating. She was trapped between two men, two worlds, and two versions of herself. And the only way out was forward. Chapter 5. Crossfire. The weight of the gun in Maya's hand was heavier than she expected. She sat in her dimly lit apartment, staring at it as though it held the answers to all her questions. Dominic Sloan's smirking face flashed in her mind, his guarded words from their meeting replaying like a broken record. Tomorrow, she was supposed to kill him. Julian's cold voice still rang in her ears. "Do what you're told, or you're on your own." But the thought of taking a life churned her stomach. She was no killer, no matter how dangerous the game had become. Yet if she refused, Delacroix would see her as weak, or worse, a liability. And liabilities in his world didn't last long. The clock on the wall ticked louder with every passing second, mocking her indecision. Finally, she grabbed her phone and dialed Eleanor Steele's number. The lawyer answered on the third ring, her voice smooth and unhurried. "Maya, I was wondering when I'd hear from you again. I need your help," Maya said, her voice strained. "Delacroix wants me to kill someone." There was a pause on the other end, then a soft chuckle. "Welcome to the big leagues, darling. What's the problem?" "The problem is I'm not a murderer," Maya snapped. Eleanor's tone sharpened. "Then you shouldn't have gotten involved with Julian or Delacroix. You knew what this was." Maya pressed her free hand to her temple, the pressure building in her skull. "I didn't have a choice." "Of course you did," Eleanor replied, her voice like a blade. "And you still do. But if you want to survive this, you'd better start thinking like a player. This isn't about right or wrong, Maya. It's about staying alive. So, what's it going to be?" Maya didn't answer. The line went dead, leaving her in suffocating silence. The next night, Maya arrived at Dominic Sloan's penthouse. She dressed carefully, something sharp and alluring, designed to disarm him. The gun was hidden in her bag, its weight a constant reminder of what she was about to do. Dominic greeted her with a sly smile, a glass of whiskey in his hand. "Maya," he said, his voice dripping with charm. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" "Delacroix wanted me to follow up," Maya said, forcing a smile. "You know how he is, always double-checking." Dominic chuckled, gesturing for her to sit. "Paranoid bastard. But you can tell him everything's under control." Maya took a seat on the plush sofa, her mind racing. She needed to stall, to figure out her next move. As Dominic poured her a drink, she scanned the room for anything she could use to her advantage. "You seem tense," Dominic said, handing her the glass. "Something on your mind?" Maya forced a laugh. "Just a lot on my plate. Working for Delacroix isn't exactly a walk in the park." Dominic smirked, taking a sip of his whiskey. Tell me about it. That man's got trust issues the size of this city. Makes me wonder why you're working for him. Maya's grip tightened on the glass. Why do you? His smile faltered, a flicker of unease crossing his face. Let's just say we've all got our reasons. The tension in the room thickened, and Maya knew she was running out of time. She reached into her bag, her fingers brushing against the cold metal of the gun. Her heart pounded as she pulled it out, aiming it at Dominic before he could react. His eyes widened, and he raised his hand slowly. Maya, he said carefully, what are you doing? I'm sorry, she whispered, her voice trembling. But I don't have a choice. Dominic's expression hardened. If you kill me, Delacroix wins. And you? You'll just be his next pawn. Is that what you want? Maya's finger hovered over the trigger, her mind a whirlwind of fear and doubt. Dominic's words cut through her like a knife, the truth in them impossible to ignore. Suddenly, the sound of breaking glass shattered the moment. Maya turned just in time to see two masked men burst into the room, guns drawn. Chaos erupted as they opened fire, their bullets tearing through the air. Dominic dove for cover, and Maya scrambled behind the sofa, her heart pounding in her chest. She clutched the gun, her hands shaking as the firefight raged around her. One of the attackers spotted her and advanced, his weapon trained on her. Acting on instinct, Maya raised her gun and fired. The shot rang out, and the man crumpled to the floor, his weapon clattering beside him. Her breath came in ragged gasps as she stared at the body, the reality of what she'd done sinking in. But there was no time to dwell on it. Dominic had grabbed his own gun and was returning fire, his movements calculated and precise. Who the hell are these guys? Maya shouted over the noise. Delacroix's enemies, Dominic growled, his voice laced with fury. Guess he's not as untouchable as he thinks. The second attacker fell moments later, and the room fell into an eerie silence. Maya's hands trembled as she lowered her gun, her mind reeling. Dominic emerged from behind the overturned table, blood dripping from a gash on his arm. He looked at her with a mix of suspicion and gratitude. You saved my life, he said, his voice low. Maya swallowed hard, her throat dry. Don't thank me yet. This changes nothing, Dominic smirked, but there was no humor in it. Oh, it changes everything. You think Delacroix will trust you after this? He'll see you as a liability. And Julian? He'll throw you to the wolves the second you're no longer useful. Maya's stomach twisted, the weight of Dominic's words crashing down on her. She was trapped in a deadly game, and no matter which way she turned, the odds were stacked against her. For now, all she could do was survive. Chapter 6: The Poison Chalice. Maya sat in her car outside the penthouse, gripping the steering wheel until her knuckles turned white. Her pulse thundered in her ears, the adrenaline from the ambush still coursing through her veins. She had survived, but the cost of that survival was beginning to feel unbearable. The gun, now unloaded and hidden beneath her seat, was a constant reminder of how far she'd been pulled into this nightmare. She replayed Dominic's words over and over. Delacroix will see you as a liability. And Julian? He'll throw you to the wolves. The bitter truth stung. She was a pawn in a game where everyone had more power than her, and the edges of the board were closing in. Her phone buzzed on the dashboard, snapping her out of her thoughts. Julian's name lit up the screen. Reluctantly, she answered. You've been busy, Julian said, his tone devoid of pleasantries. I heard about the shootout. Delacroix's enemies, Maya replied flatly, her voice betraying none of the turmoil inside her. They came for Dominic. I handled it. Handled it? Julian repeated, his voice laced with skepticism. Word is, Dominic's still alive. Maya's grip on the steering wheel tightened. I wasn't going to kill him in the middle of a firefight. It would have been suicide. Excuses, Maya, Julian said coldly. I need results. If you can't deliver, I'll find someone who can. Her stomach churned with anger, but she forced herself to remain calm. I'll take care of it. But I need more time. Delacroix trusts me, barely. If I push too hard, I'll blow my cover. There was a pause on the other end before Julian finally spoke. Fine, but don't test my patience. You're walking a fine line, and I don't have room for dead weight. The line went dead, leaving Maya seething. Julian's disdain was like a knife twisting in her gut. No matter how much she risked, it was never enough. The next morning, Maya found herself summoned to one of Delacroix's warehouses. The sprawling facility reeked of oil and chemicals, its cavernous interior buzzing with activity as workers loaded and unloaded crates. Delacroix stood near the center, barking orders to his men. When he spotted Maya, he beckoned her over with a curt wave. "You've got a knack for staying alive," he said, his voice tinged with amusement. "Dominic told me what happened. Seems you've got more guts than I gave you credit for." Maya forced a faint smile. "Just doing my job." Delacroix studied her, his sharp gaze making her skin crawl. "Good. Because I've got another job for you. And this one requires finesse." "What's the job?" Maya asked, her stomach tightening. "There's a man who owes me," Delacroix said, his tone turning cold. "A big debt. He's been dodging me for weeks, thinking he can disappear. I want you to find him and remind him why that's a mistake." "Remind him how?" Maya asked carefully. Delacroix's lips curved into a sinister smile. "However you see fit. Just make sure he pays." The target, a low-level smuggler named Anton Greer, wasn't hard to find. Maya tracked him to a rundown motel on the edge of the city, the kind of place where curtains never opened and doors always stayed locked. She parked her car in the lot, the gun once again tucked into her bag as she approached his room. Knocking lightly, she waited, her heart pounding. A few seconds later, the door creaked open, and a wiry man with bloodshot eyes peered out. "Who the hell are you?" Anton demanded, his voice slurred. "Maya," she said smoothly, stepping forward and forcing the door open wider. "Delacroix sent me." Anton's face paled, and he stumbled back. I just need a little more time. Tell him I'll get the money, I swear." Maya closed the door behind her, her expression hardening. "He's tired of waiting, Anton. You've got until the end of the week to pay up, or you won't get another chance." Anton's hands trembled as he fumbled for a cigarette, his breath ragged. "I don't have it. Not all of it, anyway. Please, just tell him I'm good for it." Maya's jaw tightened. She hated this part, the raw desperation in the eyes of people who had no way out. But she couldn't afford to let her emotions show. "You've got until Friday," she said, her voice firm. "Don't make me come back." She turned to leave, but Anton grabbed her arm, his grip surprisingly strong. "Wait, there's something you need to know." Maya froze, her instinct screaming at her to pull away. "What?" "Delacroix. He's been lying to you," Anton said, his voice dropping to a whisper. "He's not just running drugs. He's moving something else. Something bigger." "What are you talking about?" Maya demanded, her pulse quickening. Anton glanced nervously at the door, then leaned closer. "Human trafficking. Women. Children. He's working with someone high up, someone who's protecting him." Maya's stomach turned, bile rising in her throat. She'd known Delacroix was dangerous, but this? It was worse than she'd imagined. Before she could respond, there was a loud bang, and the door burst open. Two of Delacroix's men stormed in, their guns trained on Anton. "Maya," one of them said, his tone cold. "You're not supposed to be here alone." She stepped back, her heart racing. "I was just delivering a message." The man nodded toward Anton. "We'll take it from here. Boss wants him alive. For now." Maya left without another word, the weight of what she'd just learned pressing down on her like a boulder. Delacroix was more monstrous than she'd thought, and Julian's plan to take him down suddenly seemed woefully inadequate. That night, Maya sat on her balcony, the city lights flickering in the distance. Her mind was a storm of conflicting emotions: anger, fear, disgust. She thought of Julian, of how he'd used her as a pawn in his game. She thought of Delacroix, of the horrors he was hiding beneath his empire. And she thought of herself, of the lines she'd already crossed and the ones she couldn't bring herself to face. Her phone buzzed, and she picked it up, her heart sinking as she saw Eleanor's name. "Delacroix isn't just moving drugs," Maya said the moment she answered. "He's trafficking people." Eleanor's sharp intake of breath was the only response for a long moment. Then, Her voice turned icy. If that's true, you need to be very careful. Men like Delacroix don't let secrets like that get out. What do I do? Maya asked, her voice trembling. Eleanor's response was cold and pragmatic. You survive, Maya. Whatever it takes. Maya hung up, staring at the city below. She was in deeper than she'd ever imagined, and the only way out was through. But with every step forward, the cost of survival grew heavier. And soon, she knew, it would come crashing down. Chapter 7. The Edge of Ruin. The silence in the car was suffocating. Maya gripped the steering wheel, her mind racing as she replayed Anton's revelation. Delacroix wasn't just a drug lord. He was a trafficker, moving lives like commodities. The thought turned her stomach. She'd always known she was dancing with devils, but this felt like staring into the abyss. She parked outside one of Julian's safe houses, the nondescript building blending seamlessly into the gritty urban landscape. She had to tell him. Whatever their tenuous alliance had become, Julian needed to know the truth about Delacroix. Inside, Julian was seated at a table, reviewing documents spread across its surface. His expression was cold and unreadable, but his sharp eyes flicked to her the moment she entered. "You look like hell," he said, his voice flat. "Delacroix is trafficking people," Maya said, ignoring his jab. The words tumbled out before she could stop herself. Julian's hand froze mid-motion, his expression hardening. "What did you say?" "He's moving people. Women, children," Maya repeated, her voice trembling despite her resolve. "Anton Greer told me everything before Delacroix's men took him." Julian leaned back in his chair, his face unreadable. "If that's true, then this operation just got a hell of a lot more dangerous. Do you have proof?" "No," Maya admitted. But Anton knew too much. Delacroix wouldn't have sent his men after him otherwise. Julian's jaw tightened, his fingers drumming on the table. "This changes things. We can't just take him down. We have to bury him. If word gets out about this, every agency in the country will be after him. And if we're not careful, we'll be collateral damage." Maya crossed her arms, frustration bubbling to the surface. "I didn't sign up for this. I'm not a hero, Julian. I just wanted out of the mess my life became. But now," she cut herself off, the weight of it all pressing down on her. "You think I'm a hero?" Julian's voice was cold, his gaze piercing. "I'm not doing this to save anyone, Maya. I'm doing it to win. If Delacroix falls, I take his place. That's how this works." His words hit her like a slap. She'd always known Julian was ruthless, but hearing it so plainly shook her. "You're no better than he is," she said quietly, her voice laced with bitterness. Julian smirked, leaning forward. "The difference, Maya, is that I don't pretend to be." That night, Maya lay in bed, staring at the ceiling. Sleep eluded her as thoughts of Delacroix's victims swirled in her mind. She wasn't naive. She'd always known the world was cruel. But now, the weight of her choices felt unbearable. Her phone buzzed on the nightstand, and she grabbed it, half expecting another cryptic demand from Julian. Instead, it was Eleanor. "Meet me," the lawyer said, her voice sharp. "I've got information you need." The line went dead before Maya could respond. Eleanor chose a private rooftop bar in the city's wealthiest district, a stark contrast to the gritty places Maya had grown accustomed to. When Maya arrived, Eleanor was seated at a corner table, a martini in hand. "You've been busy," Eleanor said as Maya sat down. "Word is Delacroix's men are looking for you." "Let them look," Maya replied, her voice steely. "You said you had information." Eleanor slid a folder across the table. "Delacroix's trafficking operation is bigger than you think. He's working with someone inside the government. A high-ranking official who's been keeping the authorities off his back." Maya opened the folder, her stomach sinking as she scanned the documents. Names, payments, locations, it was all there. "This is enough to bring him down," Maya said, her voice trembling. "Maybe," Eleanor replied, "but it's also enough to get you killed. If Delacroix finds out you have this, he won't stop until you're dead." Maya closed the folder, her mind racing. "Why are you helping me?" Eleanor's smile was cold. "Because I hate Delacroix more than I like him. And because I think you might be reckless enough to pull this off." Maya knew the next step would be the most dangerous yet. She needed to expose Delacroix without getting caught in the crossfire. But that meant playing both sides and keeping Julian in the dark about her plans. The first crack in the facade came two nights later when Delacroix summoned her to one of his private clubs. The air was thick with tension as she approached him, his sharp gaze cutting through the haze of cigar smoke. "Anton's dead," Delacroix said, his voice flat. Maya's stomach dropped. "What happened?" "He outlived his usefulness," Delacroix replied, his tone cold. "But not before telling me something interesting. He mentioned you." Maya forced a casual smirk. "What about me?" Delacroix leaned forward, his eyes narrowing. "That you've been asking too many questions. Getting too close to things that don't concern you." Her pulse quickened, but she kept her expression neutral. "I'm just doing my job. If that's a problem, let me know." Delacroix studied her for a long moment, the silence stretching thin. Finally, he smirked. "Good answer. But be careful, Maya. Loyalty is everything in this business. Lose mine, and you lose everything." Back at her apartment, Maya paced the floor, the folder Eleanor had given her burning a hole in her bag. Delacroix was onto her. She could feel the noose tightening around her neck. Her phone buzzed, and she hesitated before answering. It was Julian. "You're in trouble," he said without preamble. "Delacroix is suspicious, and his men are watching you. If you don't clean this up, I will." Maya's temper flared. "You mean you'll throw me to the wolves the second it's convenient?" Julian's laugh was cold. "I've always been honest about what I am, Maya. Can you say the same?" The line went dead, leaving her seething. She was running out of allies, out of time, and out of options. She stared at the folder on the table, the weight of its contents pressing down on her. This was her chance to take Delacroix down once and for all, but it might also be her undoing. Maya picked up the folder and walked to the window, staring out at the city below. She'd come too far to back out now. It was time to make her move. Chapter 8: The Hunter and the Hunted. The air was thick with tension as Maya drove toward the docks, her mind racing with a thousand conflicting thoughts. The folder Eleanor had given her sat on the passenger seat, its damning contents practically vibrating with the weight of the truth it held. Names, dates, transactions. Proof that Delacroix's trafficking operation was more than a whispered rumor. This was the evidence she needed to destroy him, but getting it into the right hands without getting herself killed was a gamble she wasn't sure she could win. Her phone buzzed, shattering the heavy silence. It was Julian. She hesitated, the memory of his cold words still fresh in her mind. Reluctantly, she answered. "Where are you?" he demanded, his tone sharp. "I've got a lead," Maya lied, her voice steady. "Something big." Julian was silent for a moment, his skepticism palpable. "You'd better not be lying to me, Maya. You know what happens to liars." "I'm not lying," she said, the edge in her voice matching his. "I'll call you when I have something concrete." She hung up before he could respond, her hands tightening on the steering wheel. She couldn't trust Julian any more than she could trust Delacroix. If either of them discovered what she was planning, she'd be dead before she could take another breath. The safe house Eleanor had arranged was a small, dilapidated building on the outskirts of the city, its peeling paint and boarded-up windows offering the perfect cover. Maya parked her car in the alley behind it, clutching the folder as she approached the door. She knocked twice, then once more, a signal Eleanor had insisted on. The door creaked open, and Eleanor's sharp eyes met hers. "You weren't followed?" "No," Maya said, stepping inside. "But I don't have much time. Delacroix is watching me." Eleanor locked the door behind her, her expression grim. "Then we need to move fast. Did you bring it?" Maya handed her the folder, watching as Eleanor flipped through the pages. The lawyer's face remained impassive, but Maya could see the flicker of satisfaction in her eyes. "This is enough to bury him," Eleanor said, closing the folder. "But it won't be easy. Delacroix has friends in high places, people who will do whatever it takes to protect him. So what's the plan?" Maya asked, her voice tinged with urgency. Eleanor set the folder down, her gaze piercing. "We leak this to someone untouchable. A journalist with enough reach and credibility to make sure it can't be buried. Once it's out, Delacroix's network will crumble. And me. Maya asked. What happens to me when this blows up? Eleanor's lips curled into a faint smile. That depends on how good you are at disappearing. The plan seemed simple enough, but nothing about Maya's life had ever been simple. As she left the safe house, her mind churned with doubts. Could she really pull this off? Could she outmaneuver Julian, Delacroix, and whoever else might come after her? The streets felt darker than usual as she drove, her paranoia sharpening with every turn. When she reached her apartment, she parked a block away, her instinct screaming that something wasn't right. Her fears were confirmed the moment she stepped inside. The living room was a wreck, drawers pulled out, papers scattered, furniture overturned. Someone had been here, searching for something. Her breath caught in her throat as she backed away, her heart hammering. She reached for her phone, her fingers trembling, and dialed Eleanor. "Someone's been in my apartment," she whispered, her voice shaky. "Delacroix?" Eleanor asked, her tone sharp. "Probably," Maya said. "What do I do?" "Get out," Eleanor said without hesitation. "You can't go back there. Meet me." A loud knock at the door cut her off. Maya froze, her pulse pounding in her ears. "Hang up," Eleanor hissed. "Now." Maya ended the call, slipping her phone into her pocket as the knock came again, harder this time. "Maya," a voice called from the other side. It was Liam Hayes. She hesitated, her mind racing. She couldn't afford to trust anyone, but if she didn't answer, it might make things worse. Slowly, she approached the door and opened it a crack. "What do you want?" she asked, her voice guarded. Liam's sharp eyes scanned her face. "We need to talk. Now." Maya let him in, her nerves frayed as she watched him survey the mess. "Looks like someone's got it out for you," Liam said, his tone laced with irony. "No kidding," Maya replied, crossing her arms. "Why are you here?" Liam turned to face her, his expression unreadable. "Delacroix is onto you. He thinks you're working for someone else. If I were you, I'd disappear before he decides to make an example out of you. Why do you care?" Maya asked, narrowing her eyes. "Because Delacroix is my problem, too," Liam said, stepping closer. "And because I think you want him gone as much as I do." Maya's breath hitched. "What are you saying?" "I'm saying we can help each other," Liam said, his voice low. "You give me what I need to take him down, and I make sure you get out of this alive." Maya studied him, her instincts warring with her desperation. She didn't trust him, but she didn't have many options left. "Fine," she said finally. "But if you screw me over, I'll make sure you regret it." Liam smirked. "Fair enough." The next few hours passed in a blur as Maya and Liam worked to piece together a plan. The folder Eleanor had given her was the key, but getting it into the right hands was a delicate operation. Every step felt like walking a tightrope, the threat of exposure looming over them. By the time the plan was set, Maya felt more exhausted than ever. But as she watched Liam leave, her resolve hardened. Delacroix's empire was crumbling, and she was determined to see it fall. That night, as Maya sat in the darkness of a borrowed apartment, she allowed herself a moment of hope. For the first time in weeks, she felt like she had a chance to take control of her life. But deep down, she knew the worst was yet to come. Because in a game like this, there were no guarantees. Only survival. Chapter 9. The Shattered Veil. The city seemed unnaturally quiet as Maya waited in the back alley near the docks, her breath visible in the cold night air. The folder of damning evidence was tucked safely in her bag, but its weight felt unbearable. This was it, the moment that could bring Delacroix's empire crashing down or cost her everything. Liam had arranged the meeting with a journalist he claimed could be trusted, a seasoned investigator named Renee Larkin. She was known for her relentless pursuit of the truth. If anyone could make sure the story saw the light of day, it was her. But Maya couldn't shake the feeling that something was about to go horribly wrong. The faint hum of an approaching car snapped her out of her thoughts. A black sedan rolled into the alley, its headlights cutting through the darkness. Maya's grip tightened on the strap of her bag as the driver's door opened and Liam stepped out. "She's here," he said, nodding toward the passenger side. Renee stepped out, her presence commanding despite her small frame. She adjusted her glasses and approached Maya with a confident stride. "You must be Maya," Renee said, her voice steady. Liam's told me a lot about you. Let's just get this over with, Maya replied, her nerves fraying. She handed the folder to Renee, watching as the journalist flipped through its contents. This is substantial, Renee said, her tone a mix of surprise and respect. If this is as legitimate as it looks, Delacroix's entire network is finished. That's the idea, Maya said, but we need to move fast. If he finds out this is happening. The sound of tires screeching cut her off. Maya's blood ran cold as another car roared into the alley, its headlights blinding. The doors flew open, and several armed men spilled out. Delacroix, Liam hissed, drawing his gun. The scene erupted into chaos. Shots rang out as Delacroix's men opened fire, their bullets ricocheting off the walls. Maya ducked behind a stack of crates, her heart pounding as she fumbled for the pistol hidden in her jacket. Maya, stay down. Liam shouted, returning fire. Renee had taken cover near the sedan, clutching the folder to her chest as she tried to avoid the crossfire. Maya peeked out from her hiding spot, her eyes locking on Delacroix himself. He stood near the car, his cold gaze scanning the chaos like a predator. His voice cut through the gunfire as he barked orders to his men. Bring me the folder, he shouted, and kill the rest. Maya's fear turned to fury. She raised her gun, taking aim at one of Delacroix's men. The shot was deafening, but it found its mark, and the man crumpled to the ground. Her hands trembled, but she forced herself to stay focused. We're pinned, Liam called out, his voice strained. We need to move. Maya's mind raced. The folder was the priority. If they lost it, everything would be for nothing. She glanced at Renee, who was still crouched by the car, her face pale but determined. Renee, Maya shouted, get out of here. Take the folder and go. I can't leave you. Renee yelled back. Just go. Maya insisted. We'll cover you. Renee hesitated for a moment before nodding. She clutched the folder tightly and darted toward the other end of the alley. Maya and Liam provided cover, their gunfire driving Delacroix's men back just enough to give her an opening. But Delacroix wasn't about to let her escape. He raised his own gun, taking aim at Renee's retreating figure. No. Maya screamed, stepping out from behind the crates. She fired at Delacroix, her shot grazing his arm. He stumbled, his aim faltering just enough for Renee to slip away into the darkness. Delacroix turned his gaze on Maya, his expression a mask of cold fury. You just signed your death warrant, he snarled. Maya didn't have time to respond. One of his men lunged at her, tackling her to the ground. Her gun skidded out of reach as she struggled against his weight, her lungs burning as he pressed her against the cold pavement. Liam appeared out of nowhere, slamming the butt of his gun into the man's head. The attacker collapsed, and Liam grabbed Maya's arm, pulling her to her feet. We have to go, he said, dragging her toward the car. The two of them dove into the sedan, Liam flooring the gas as bullets shattered the rear window. The car roared out of the alley, the night swallowing them as they sped away. The safe house was eerily quiet when they arrived. Maya slumped onto the worn couch, her body shaking with adrenaline and exhaustion. Liam locked the door, checking the windows before sitting across from her. We lost half of them, Liam said, his voice heavy. But Renee got out. She has the folder. Maya nodded, her head spinning. It's not over. Delacroix won't stop until he's buried us all. Liam leaned forward, his gaze intense. Then we hit him first. Maya looked at him, her exhaustion giving way to determination. How? We go for his stronghold, Liam said. His main warehouse. If we take out his supply and his men, he'll have nothing left. That's suicide, Maya said, though a flicker of hope stirred within her. It's our best shot, Liam said. You in? Maya took a deep breath, the weight of her decision pressing down on her. She thought of everything she'd been through, of the lives ruined by Delacroix's empire. She couldn't walk away now, not when she was so close to ending it all. I'm in, she said, her voice steady. Liam nodded, his expression grim. Then let's finish this. The final strike was set for the following night. As Maya prepared for what could be her last stand, she thought of the lives she'd touched and the lines she'd crossed. The path she'd chosen had led her to this moment, and she knew there was no turning back. Delacroix had underestimated her. He'd treated her like a pawn, a disposable piece in his twisted game. But now, she was about to prove him wrong. Because in the end, pawns could become queens. Chapter 10. Redemption or Ruin. The air around the warehouse was heavy with anticipation, the silence broken only by the distant hum of the city. Maya crouched behind a stack of crates, her pistol in hand, her heart pounding in her chest. Liam was beside her, his expression grim and focused. This was it, the final gambit in a game that had taken her to the brink of destruction. The plan was straightforward. Infiltrate Delacroix's stronghold, sabotage his operation, and eliminate any chance of him rebuilding his empire. But straightforward didn't mean simple. The warehouse was heavily guarded, and Delacroix's men would shoot first and ask questions never. Maya glanced at Liam, her voice barely a whisper. "You sure about this?" "No," he admitted, his eyes scanning the building.
"But it's the only way."
Maya tightened her grip on the gun, forcing herself to breathe steadily. She'd come too far to back out now. Liam gave a small nod, signaling it was time. Together, they moved silently toward the side entrance, their steps careful and deliberate. The door creaked slightly as Liam pushed it open, and Maya's stomach clenched. Every nerve in her body was on high alert as they slipped inside. The warehouse was a maze of crates and machinery, the air thick with the smell of oil and metal. Shadows danced across the walls as they moved, the faint sound of voices and footsteps echoing from deeper within. Liam gestured toward a set of stairs leading to a metal catwalk. "I'll cover you from up there," he whispered. "You plant the charges." Maya nodded, her throat dry. She watched as Liam disappeared up the stairs, his movements as quiet as a shadow. She crept forward, her heart hammering with every step. The explosives were tucked in her bag, each one carefully prepared to cripple the warehouse's infrastructure. She found the first target near a stack of crates labeled with coded symbols, likely containing drugs or weapons. Her hands shook as she set the charge, but she forced herself to focus. One down, three to go. The second charge was easier, the process becoming mechanical. But as she approached the third target, a voice froze her in place. "What the hell are you doing here?" Maya spun around, her gun raised. One of Delacroix's men stood a few feet away, his own weapon aimed at her. "Drop it," he ordered, his voice cold. Maya's mind raced. She could hear Liam's voice in her earpiece, tense and urgent. "Take the shot, Maya. Don't hesitate." Her finger tightened on the trigger, and the world slowed to a crawl. She fired, the sound deafening in the confined space. The man crumpled to the ground, his gun skittering away. The commotion had drawn attention. Shouts echoed through the warehouse, and Maya's pulse quickened. The element of surprise was gone. From the catwalk, Liam provided cover fire, his shots precise and unrelenting. "Move, Maya," he shouted. "Get the last charge planted." Maya sprinted toward the final target, her adrenaline surging as bullets whizzed past her. She slid behind a stack of barrels, fumbling with the explosive as chaos erupted around her. The charge clicked into place, and she pressed the detonator, setting the timer. "It's done," she yelled into the earpiece. "Get out of there," Liam shouted. But before she could move, a familiar voice stopped her cold. "Well, well. Look who's finally decided to show her true colors." Maya turned to see Delacroix emerging from the shadows, a gun in his hand and a cruel smile on his face. He looked every bit the predator, his calm demeanor more terrifying than the gunfire around them. "I knew you were trouble," he said, his tone almost conversational. "But I didn't think you'd be stupid enough to come here." Maya raised her gun, her hands steady despite the fear coursing through her. "It's over, Delacroix. Your empire is finished." Delacroix laughed, the sound cold and humorless. "You think this is over? You've just scratched the surface. Take me out, and someone worse will fill the void." "Maybe," Maya said, her voice firm. "But it won't be you." Delacroix's smile faded, his eyes narrowing. "You don't have it in you." Maya's grip tightened on the gun. The world around her seemed to fade away, the sounds of gunfire and chaos muted. This was the moment she'd been building toward, the moment where she chose who she was. Her finger moved to the trigger, but before she could fire, A shot rang out. Delacroix's eyes widened in shock, and he staggered backward, clutching his chest. Liam appeared behind him, his gun still raised. "Couldn't let him finish his speech," he said, his tone grim. Maya exhaled shakily, lowering her weapon. "We need to go.
Now."
The timer on the explosives was ticking down, the seconds slipping away. Together, Maya and Liam fought their way out of the warehouse, the remaining guards scrambling in the chaos. As they burst through the side door, the first explosion rocked the ground beneath their feet. Flames erupted from the warehouse, lighting up the night sky. The shockwave sent them sprawling, but they managed to scramble to safety. The city was eerily quiet as they drove away, the glow of the fire visible in the rearview mirror. Maya stared out the window, her mind numb. Delacroix was dead, his empire in ruins. But the cost of victory weighed heavily on her. "Renee has the folder," Liam said, breaking the silence. "It's over." Maya shook her head, her voice hollow. "It's never over." Liam didn't respond, his expression unreadable. Days later, the news broke. Renee's story exposed Delacroix's trafficking operation, sending shockwaves through the city. Politicians and law enforcement scrambled to distance themselves from the fallout, but the damage was done. Delacroix's name was synonymous with horror, his empire reduced to ashes. Maya watched the coverage from a dingy motel room, her belongings packed in a single bag. She couldn't stay in the city, not after everything that had happened. As she turned off the television, her phone buzzed. It was a message from Liam. "Take care of yourself, Maya. You earned it." She stared at the words for a long moment before deleting the message. Liam's sentiment felt hollow. She hadn't earned peace or redemption, just survival. Maya slung her bag over her shoulder and stepped out into the night. The city's glow faded behind her as she walked away, her path uncertain. She was free, but freedom had never felt so heavy. End of Veil of Deceit.